listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Freedom of Choices, is the first message in the series Respect the Beard and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, written about 700 years before Jesus was born. God says this, "Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together." He said again, God says, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. And again, Lord, we have left our homes to come to this house this morning. We come, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. We bring our hearts, we bring our minds this morning. We come, Lord, asking that you would speak into our lives, that you would teach, that your spirit would dwell, that God, you would manifest yourself here in many ways. We come, God, to tell you that we love you and we praise you and we thank you. Lord, this morning as a church community, we pray recognizing 15 years ago today is when the World Trade Center and the Pentagon was attacked and many innocent people died. Changed our way of life, changed this country, changed many countries. Lord, we this morning pray for the families that lost fathers and mothers and sons and daughters, friends, grandparents. Lord, we pray that you would continue to protect, help us, God, to be people that seek justice, defend those that can't be defended. Lord, we remember this day. We thank you, God, that you are bigger than all things, especially the horrors of war. Good morning, Lord. You're the God who was, the God who is, and the God who forever will be. And we come to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob this morning. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. And all those who love God would say what? You may be seated. And hey, welcome. It's we're kind of looking like at like this is just a new season in many ways. The students are back to school. The summer vacations are over. Last weekend, I was water skiing at the river and got my last chance of having one more vacation before the fall. And I'm really glad that I missed the water we had here last week. And God bless Pastor Vince. So we had a little, small little water break over there, and I got the text messages, and I just I'm not gonna, I don't want to know, you know. I'm on vacation, but it went well, and you know, we're having fun. By the way, if you guys, there's a letter in the worship folder just about good things that God's been doing our church. As you could tell, walking in. We've redone our website. We're redoing our foyer, and God's just provided people that's just radically been just like, "Hey, Pastor Frank, we want it A, B, and C," and for like minimum costs, God is doing such fun stuff, and you can read about that there. But that's that. Now I need to tell you something. So we're gonna start this morning. I've been blessed with a baby face. Always have been. Growing up as a kid, I've always had a baby face. As a matter of fact, when I actually went to Biola and I first met my wife, Cinda, she thought I was a freshman. And she was a senior. And honestly, When she found out that I was a year older than her, at her words, she began treating me differently because she didn't want to lead me on. But I was already hooked, okay? And I had to, as you know, it took me 8 months to convince her to date me. But baby face, right? Look at this. Do I look old enough to be getting married? Look at this one. Here's another one. How am I doing? When it was funny, my wife and I were talking about this morning. I was 27 years old, youth pastor here at Woodbridge, master's degree. I had two kids. There was a knock on the door at our house. I go up to the front and I open the door, and this lady's sitting there, and she says, "Is your mother home?" I said, "No." And she gave me this and said, "Well, would you hand it to her when she gets home?" I said, "Thank you." Cinda's in the back. I've got two babies, right? I go in the back and she goes, "Who's at the door?" And I said, "I'm supposed to hand this to my mother." True story. So in 1996, I went to Israel, okay? And when I went to Israel, I didn't shave for 2 weeks. Came home with this. And when I came home, she said, "You know, doesn't look too bad. You can keep it." And I kind of felt that maybe this has given me a kind of removed a little bit of the baby face. Hey, children can't grow beards, okay? Children can't grow facial hair. You have to walk on this planet a while before you can grow one of these. And you have to walk on this planet a bit longer in order to put a little gray in it, okay? Now, the Bible says that we are to respect people that's got some gray in their beards or in their hair. Why? Because these people have walked on this planet a bit longer than you have, and they might have experienced certain things that you haven't, okay? And you ought to listen to them because they have knowledge, and they might have some wisdom to impart if you're willing to listen. Now, what we're going to do for the next 8 weeks is we're going to do a series called Respect the Beard. Okay? And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through the wisdom literature of the Bible. The Bible has a certain genre, a certain section within the scriptures, and they call it the wisdom literature. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, the book of Job. And so we're going to go through the wisdom literature, and we're going to study the wisdom literature. During this series, we want to encourage you guys on our Facebook page, we have a little section there, and we want you to send in cool pictures of people that's got some cool beards, okay? For example, and we want you to get selfies. If you're like at Starbucks coffee and you see a person with a cool beard, you need to go up to them and go, "You know, that's a really cool beard. Do you mind if I take a selfie with you? That my church is doing pictures. And by the way, if I win, I get a $10 gift card to Starbucks every week. We're giving out $10 gift cards to Starbucks. We want to see some really cool pictures. Now, if you, in your past life, had a cool beard, you need to put it on our website because we want to shoot them up each week. You understand? The series is called Respect the Beard. Okay? We're going to have fun with this. When I say beard, what do you think of? Can you think of somebody that's got a cool-looking beard? Santa Claus has got a cool-looking beard? How about this guy? When I think about beards, I think of Phil Robertson. You guys know who this guy is? Duck Dynasty? Over to the left, that's him as a teenager. Over to the right, anyway. He's not just got a beard over here, but if you look closely, he's got some wisdom in his life. He's walked on this planet a little bit. Listen to this guy. Interesting individual. A multimillionaire man making duck calls. They got a TV show. And this guy's a pretty serious follower of Jesus. And when you listen to him, he'll tell you about the hymn that's on his right and what a fool that kid was and how over the years he's grown in wisdom. That, my friends, on a scale of 1 to 10, how's that for a beard? That's not bad, is it? How about this? Look at this one. Here's another one of him and his family. If you can get a picture with him, you're getting a Starbucks gift card, I'm telling you. Hey, guys, we're going to have a fun time in this series as we're just going to, it's called Respect the Beard. And if you've got some good pictures, man, you got everybody's got a phone. Take a good selfie of somebody. You got a neighbor that's got a cool beard. Send it into our website, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it, okay? All right, listen to this. You ready? Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. Do y'all know that? It is attained by the way of righteousness, it says in Proverbs. The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair, the splendor of the old. Isn't that beautiful? Job 12:12. Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not life bring understanding? That's beautiful. It's called the wisdom literature. Do you need wisdom? Do we need wisdom from God? See, the problem is you and I are susceptible to making bad choices. Do I hear an amen? Anyone made a bad choice besides me, right? I hope that I can learn, right? Wisdom. All right, so I figured, hey, man, if we're going to do the wisdom, what's a good definition of wisdom? You guys want to take notes? I really want to encourage you right now. Take notes on this. By the way, we're starting our small groups, sermon-based growth groups all this week, so we're going to have people all this week getting in homes and discussing this message, and I hope that you join a growth group. Bring your notes with you. We're going to talk about this. You can hear, stir it in midweek. We're going to have fun with it. We need to start off. What's a good definition of wisdom? You want to know what it is? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's a good definition of wisdom. What is wisdom? Oh, that's easy. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. To be a wise person is to be a person that applies knowledge. Yesterday, I was changing the oil in my wife's car, and I was helping my son, and my dad was there. We're doing brakes on my son's car. Has anyone ever worked on cars? Ever busted your knuckles trying to bust loose a bolt? And you, the bolt's tight and you got a ratchet on it and you pop it loose and your knuckles just fly right into the metal and cracks your knuckles and you start bleeding and you've got nice grease and blood. You ever done that? Did it once. Now I have an extender that I use. I did it one time. Have you ever hammer hit your finger with a hammer? Did it once. Have you ever had a bunch of data on your hard drive and you didn't back it up? Anyone? And it's gone? Once. Wisdom is the application of knowledge to apply. I have knowledge, I'm going to apply it. To do that, you're wise. You understand? You with me so far? If wisdom is the application of knowledge, then what's the opposite of wisdom? Anyone have a guess? Foolishness. Foolishness. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. A fool is somebody who has knowledge and won't apply it over and over and over and over. They'll hit their hand all day long with a hammer. They refuse to learn. They won't apply, right? Here's a great Proverbs, wisdom literature, 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ever met any of them? Ever been one of them? Have any of these people in your family? I got a nephew I love dearly. Let me say that again. I have a nephew that I love dearly. He's a fool. A few years ago, we're out at the river. And a police boat drives by, Colorado River, water skiing, jet skiing. And my nephew hops on a jet ski and said, hey, you should put a life jacket on. Nah, I don't need a life jacket, nah. It's $400, fine. He's always struggled with the law. He had knowledge. He just won't apply it. It's his life. Do you have any of these people in your family? Foolishness. Foolishness. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. To be a fool is to have knowledge and just refuse it. Foolishness. God gives us a section of scripture, and it's called the wisdom literature. They're given by God to us so that we, if we'll listen to Him, will apply wisdom, knowledge in our lives. And you know what, people? Better decisions equals a better life. Is that true? Better decisions equals a better life. To make good decisions, don't you want to be in your deathbed one day and look back and say, man, I just made more better decisions than stupid ones, right? I don't want the regrets. If you swim in the wisdom literature, you will find amazing things. Now, let me say this morning, just as we begin to get started. You and I in this room are very special people. Can I say that? You and me, okay? You and I in here and today, we're special. Do you know why we're special? Because you and I in here have been made in the image of God. In terms of the order of creation, you and I are special. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. Theologians have had an amazing journey trying to figure out what this scripture means over the last 2,000 years. We have been made in God's image. What does that mean? Does God have facial hair? He's spirit. God's spirit. Just like you are, by the way. What does it mean to be made in God's image? Here's the best definition I've ever heard, ever, in all my journeys, and I want you to write it down and think on this with me. You ready? Here it comes. Take notes on this. A good definition of being made in the image of God is this. To be made in the image of God means that we are moral. We are moral. You and I in here are moral people. We somehow know that when a newborn baby is born, you don't pick it up and smash its head against a wall. We're moral people. We all have this deep within us. You and I as human beings are moral, free beings with the ability of thought, reason, and choice. To be made in the image of God means that we are moral, we are free, we have freedom, we are beings, we exist with the ability, we have the ability of thought, of reason, and choice. And in this, we are unique, made in God's image. For FYI, God is a moral, free being with the ability of thought and reason and choice. And we've been made in His image. We are special in the order of God's creation. And that's why in Isaiah chapter 1, God uses the words, "Let us reason together." It's interesting, isn't it? In Isaiah, God says, "Let us reason together," right? "Give me your brain," He says. He doesn't say this, by the way, to elephants or to dolphins, because they haven't split the atom or figured out how to fly to the moon or created the internal combustion engine, but we have. God speaks to you and me. Let us reason together. We're special. People, we have freedom of thought. Does this make sense? We're special. Can you get that down? Can you at least put that in your head? Wow, that's cool. Yeah, that beautiful elephant, that's a great lion. I'm different. I'm unique. Read Genesis. Hey, here's a question for you this morning. Is freedom a good thing? Is freedom a good thing? Hey, you living in America, I have a question for you this morning. Do you love liberty? Do you love freedom? For the land of the free. Right? Many Americans stand when this song is sung, our national anthem, as we sing values in honor of these values. This is an American thing in many ways. Many Americans have lived and died so we could have liberty and freedom. Is freedom a good thing? Have you ever seen anybody march against freedom? Have you ever seen a crowd carrying signs that says, down with freedom or back to bondage. Anyone? Mankind intuitively recognizes freedom as being good. Can you track with me on that? All mankind recognizes freedom as being good. But here's the catch. What if in your freedom you choose to do evil? Then is freedom still good? Is freedom a good thing? Absolutely. But what if in your freedom you choose to do evil? Is freedom then good? Is it still good? Many people ask me, so, hey, you're a Christian, you're a chaplain, yes, that's me, right? So, you believe in a God, yep, you creator, yep, yep. So then who created evil? So God created all things. He did. Then did God create evil? And if God created evil, then God is evil, right? When I had these questions as a young Christian, when I have people ask me these questions, they're questions about freedom. One thing that God gives his creation, made in his image, is the good power called free will. However, the power of moral free choices entails the ability either to choose the good that God designed for us or to reject it. And to reject that is evil. Take notes on this. You want to have some philosophical fun? How about this? Note number three. Is it good to be free? It is good to be free, but freedom makes evil possible. If God made free creatures in his image, and if it is good to be free, then watch this. Ready? The origins of evil is the misuse of freedom. Have fun with that one. It's the misuse of freedom. Evil that exists in the world today is the misuse of freedom that human beings made in God's image have chosen to do. That's what happened in the beginning, friends. The beginning of humanity in the Garden of Eden. And that's what's still happening today. Fallen people made in God's image misusing their freedom, making bad choices, and hurting themselves and other people in the process. Now, I got to tell you this. As a young Christian, I remember when I first became a believer in Christ, and I first moved down here, and I was going to college at Saddleback College, living in an apartment, Dana Point, and they put out a call to help out in the youth group at the church I was going to, and I said, I'll do that. And I remember being a small group leader. God bless these people. You know, here I'm a 20-year-old kid with a Corvette, so I look really cool to a 16-year-old. Do you get that? And I'm a Christian for about 10 months. I'm like in. And I remember there's this kid in my core group. His name was Steve. His name was Steve. Cool little kid. I used to surf with him. Steve's dad had an affair on his mom. And Steve's dad had served his mom divorce papers. He's leaving his family. Steve's in my core group. And I remember, you know, we're all there in community. And I said, Steve, God's going to save your parents' marriage. Because he's God. Guess what happened to Steve's parents' marriage? They got divorced. And I had long sessions of floating out in the ocean on a surfboard going, God, why didn't you intervene? I'm still learning, you see. Why didn't God stop Michael Jackson from overdosing on drugs? Why didn't God stop the drunk driver last night? Why didn't God stop 9/11? Why doesn't God stop you and I every day from sinning? What I have learned over the years with the bit of gray that's in my beard is this. That God, our Creator, in His sovereignty, respects people's freedom of choice. Did you hear that? What I figured out is that God, in His sovereignty, says, I have given human beings freedom of choice, and I respect their freedom of choice, even if it's a bad choice. and they can live in that, good or bad. I respect the power I've given them of free choice. Freedom. Freedom's a good thing. But what if I use freedom for evil? Well, you reap what you sow, whether good or bad. I learned this over the years of my life. God gave us freedom. Freedom of choices. It's a unique part of being made in the image of God. And he isn't going to force us to do something outside of our image, of what we choose as a self, right? He's a respecter of our free will. He's a respecter of our choices. And he allows us to reap these things, good and bad. Are you sinking in with this? Hey, people, who caused my buddy Steve's marriage to divorce? Whose fault was it? God's? Was it God's fault? Was it Satan's fault? Anyone else? Was there anyone else involved in that marriage? Whose fault was it? It was their fault, specifically his father's fault, right? It wasn't God's fault. Maybe Satan influenced. Hey, in the Garden of Eden, Genesis, whose fault was it? God's fault? Genesis chapter, right? Opening Genesis. Is that God's fault, people? Was it Satan's fault? Was there anyone else involved in the garden? Anyone? Whose fault was it? Well, if you listen to Adam, read the account. It's great. If you listen to Adam, whose fault was it? It was the woman whom you gave me. Look what Adam's doing. Okay? Whose fault is it? Eve. Right? Funny how that works. Guess whose fault it was? It was theirs. Do you understand? It was theirs. There's a third element in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, there's the God, the Creator. Yeah, there's a fallen angel. But there was two human beings made in God's image with the ability of thought and reason and choice, made in the image of God, and they chose in their freedom to make a decision. And it's bitten a lot of people in the rear end, FYI. They own it. It's theirs. Pastor Frank, it's my parents' fault for who I am today. Pastor Frank, it's my friends. My friends just influenced me. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. It's true that background, it's true that training, it's true that environment affects choices, but they don't force choices, am I right? You still are making your own choices. Yeah, you might have influence. Maybe your parents has influenced you. Maybe your environment, maybe your upbringing has influence on you, but it doesn't force you to go rob a bank. It doesn't force you. You have choice. In everything that you make, people, you are moral free agents made in the image of God, and because of that, you are very, very special. And you have the freedom to make choices, and God's given you that freedom. And when you make those choices, you're responsible for them. You're responsible for them. Own it. You want to take notes? How about this one? Free beings are held morally responsible for their choices. That's just life. And that goes totally against the culture that we live in today. Isn't that true? It wasn't me. Try that in heaven one day when we all stand before God and give an account of our lives. Well, you can't blame me. I'm blaming you because you made me. Try that one. We're going to swim in Isaiah for a little bit. You ready? Isaiah is a great book. Jesus quotes the book of Isaiah more than any other book. The book of Isaiah is written The information is God's, written through the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before Jesus was born. And I love the beginnings of Isaiah. If you go through the whole book, it's phenomenal. In Isaiah chapter 1, God speaks to moral free beings. And this is what he says. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Do we have the power to remove evil from our lives? Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. God says, cease to do evil. Learn. Human beings can learn. Did you know that? God says, learn to do good. Are we capable of learning this? God says, seek justice. What's just? Reprove the ruthless. Get the bullies. Don't let the bullies do what they're doing. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Defend those that can't defend themselves. Plead for the widow. She's having a hard time. Whose responsibility is what we just read here? Whose? Can you guys do this? This is our responsibility before God. You understand? You made in God's image. This is your job. Now, watch this. And I like it. God says, let us reason together. God says, give me your brain. Think with me. Walk with me in this. He doesn't say this to an elephant or to a giraffe. He says it to human beings. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Listen to this. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they will be like wool. Whose job is this? Whose job is that one? Can anyone think? Whose responsibility? Who's going to deal with this? God will, right? Yeah, you're a sinner. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? You just rebelled against God and your Creator. You've been separated from Him. The reason why you're empty and lonely and full of shame and guilt and afraid of dying is because you are empty, you are lonely, you are full of shame and guilt, and you should be afraid to die and enter a Christless eternity. God says, I'm going to deal with this. Read Isaiah 53. The righteous one, my servant, is going to come and justify the many. By his wounds, we are healed. Your separation from God is restored through God, through his son, Jesus, right? When you read Isaiah, God says, you do this, I'll do this. I expect you to do this, I'll do this. Do you understand? And Jesus comes. You want to hear some good news? 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is there anybody in here who's not a Christian? You need to be. If there's anybody in here who's not said yes to Jesus and yes to what he did for you on the cross, you see, somebody's going to pay for your sins. You can either pay for them yourself or you can let someone else. But either way, somebody's held responsible for the injustice. Do you understand? For any of us who's in Christ, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. That's regeneration. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Jesus has come and reconciled us to the Father, and your sins have been made as white as snow. Is that good news? Hey, if today, if you leave this parking lot and some drunk driver hits you and kills you because of his bad choices and you're standing before God, if you're in Christ, your sins will never be counted against you. That's really, really, really good news. Jesus covers them all, pays for them all. Though your sins are like scarlet, you will be made white as snow. And it's an act of what God has done for us. Do you understand? So I sit here as a New Testament saint. Do you understand? I'm a New Testament saint, washed in the blood of the Lamb, regenerated by the Spirit of the living God, reconciled to the Father. How do I now read the wisdom literature of the Old Testament? I read it so God will help me to be wise in my decisions. Because good decisions equals a good life. Are you with me? You in this room, Christian, have freedom still to make good and bad choices. God will not stop you. Christian, God will not stop you if you want to leave today and go rob the bank. There are a lot of Christians in jail making bad choices. You have freedom. What will you do with your freedom? See, I have freedom today to rob a bank or not rob a bank. God has just given me the wisdom to go, yeah, that's probably pretty stupid. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, what a bummer. You don't have the freedom to smoke and party and drink. No, actually, I could go smoke dope and get hammered today, and I can be just like you. The good news is God has taught me the stupidity of this, and I am now free to walk away from your bondage. Can you stop smoking? Can you stop drinking? Can you stop doing drugs? What you think is your freedom is your bondage. Jesus came to set me free. Do you understand? Wisdom. 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 When you read the wisdom literature, you'll find that God has a lot of things to talk about, like money. Does anyone need any wisdom in money? He talks about marriage. Does anyone need any wisdom in your marriage? God talks about friendships. Does anyone need wisdom in who you choose to make your friend? Anyone? When you read the wisdom literature, it speaks about parenting. Does any parents need wisdom? When you read the wisdom literature, it talked about addictive behaviors. Does anyone need wisdom on what you choose to do and not do so you will be addicted or not addicted? Do you know that God speaks into all these things and much, 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 much more? Much, 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 much more. We're going to have fun. It's called the wisdom literature. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Job. Wisdom literature, simple and complex wisdom, theologians have broken it into. Why does God give us these books? Because he thinks that you and I might need a little help making wise choices. Anyone? God says it's possible you might have propensity to make a bad decision. Maybe I'll give you the wisdom literature to help you in making better decisions if you want to read it and listen, right? Here's Proverbs, and I think this is beautiful, and we'll end with this. And I encourage you guys, just if you want to read some fun stuff, go crack open Proverbs this week. In Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 7, in the wisdom literature, there is this father, his name is Solomon, and he's speaking to his son. And he says this. It's like, can you picture an older man with a gray beard speaking into his younger son, going, son, I hope you'll listen to me. I've got a beard. I've got gray in it. I've walked on this earth a long time, and you are going to walk now, and I hope you can learn from me and not be as stupid as I was, right? Something like that. Son, if you do this, you're going to crack your knuckles, and you're going to bleed all over the place, or you should back up that hard drive, son, or you're going to be bummed, or right? Listen to this. My son, Proverbs 2, 1 through 7. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure. Do you understand what? See, son, this is where you need to be looking. There's There's wisdom in this. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. Do you understand? From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield whose walk is blameless. Isn't that good? Hey guys, we're going to have a lot of fun in this series, okay? We're going to have some cool videos each week. Each one will be different each week. So you're not going to see our cute little girls with the beards, and they need to shave. I want you guys, man, give us some great shots. We want to shoot up some great shots each week of some great-looking beards, okay? We're going to go on a journey called Respect the Beard, and it's really respecting the aged or respecting the wisdom that God would give, and we're going to have a blast. If you know of anybody, your neighbors, family members, workers, this is a great series to invite somebody to. You should tell them, hey man, check out what my church is doing. You got to check this out. We're going to have an absolute blast. This is a great series to invite somebody to. Okay? When I read that Proverbs 2, I think about almost like God calling out to you and I, son or daughter, come to me and listen to me. Jesus, when he came to earth, he described the creator of the universe as our Father who is in heaven. How holy is his name. Jesus would say that what father of you would give, when your son asks for a piece of bread, would give him a snake? He goes, you down here aren't that ruthless, nor is your God in heaven, your Father in heaven. Your Father knows how to give good gifts. One of the best gifts that your Father in heaven can give you is a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding, a spirit of discernment. The best thing that your Father in heaven can do for you in this room today is to give you his Son Jesus to wash you of your sin and to remove your guilt and shame from his sight and from yours. The best thing that your Father can give you this morning is his Spirit that dwells within you, power to live an amazing life. People, the Lord is in our midst and the Lord is here. He is a great Father, and you are his kids, and he does love you. You are valuable to him, you are special to him, and that's why he takes the time to speak into your life. He's jealous for you. That's awesome. Father, we just praise you this morning for your goodness. God, you are not somebody that we created in our image, but we have been created in yours. You are real, and you are amazing, and we trust you, God. And Lord, we praise you, and we just pray a blessing that you would receive all glory, honor, and praise as we journey in this series on the wisdom literature, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would make us all wiser people as we come through this series, God. Lord, I pray that we would understand better who you are in this series, who we are in this series, and I pray, Lord, that you would just pour into our lives so we would be wise people and not be fools that walk on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that you've given us to make choices this day, and I pray for our choices, that they would be good choices. Thank you, Lord, that we chose to come here today, and not just to watch football, because where's football going to take us? Not beyond the grave. Lord, we come to worship this morning. You are an awesome God. You're a good, good Father, and we praise you. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing a song. This is a great song by Chris Tomlin, Good, Good Father. And I just want to say this. If you're here this morning and you have physical needs, if you have financial needs, if you have anxieties or worries or concerns, if there's something deep within you that you're saying, I just need prayer on this. During these next couple songs, if you need prayer today, we as a church would be honored to pray with you. The Lord is here. The Lord is real. God does miraculous things. And so I'm going to ask for my wife to come up and stand here with me. I want Pastor Graham and Beulah to be up in the balcony. I think that's where you guys are, maybe. Okay, great. Mike and Pat, Pastor Vince. Dr. Shane, are you in the house? Doc, would you come and pray with people? If you're here today, friends, and you need prayer, the Bible says you receive not because you ask not. Do you understand? Mike, I want you to come up. If you're here today, it would be a bummer someday to go to heaven and God says, well, you never asked me. Maybe there's something that, maybe God waited to heal Mary until she would come up here and ask. Is anything impossible for our God? Nothing. He's here. He's a good, good father. Would you all sing this song? It's a song of praise to God. He's a good father. It's who he is. And if you want prayer, you are welcome to come up during these next few songs. Let's sing.
And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide.
Perfect in all.
Would you just quiet your hearts before the Lord? Would you praise Him for His goodness in your life this morning? Would you just have a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude? Thank the Lord for His goodness. He's a good Father. He's a good Father. And you are His children, adopted into His family. Your Father sees you. Your Father knows you. Your Father loves you. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, God, for your patience and your mercy in our lives. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the work of the cross. We praise and thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. We thank you for the word of God that you've given us to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Father, we thank you that you're such a good Father that you would speak wisdom into your children. Lord, we as your children want to be good listeners and good hearers in these next weeks as we study, God, your literature, your wisdom literature. We pray, Lord, that you would speak wisdom into our lives. May we hear your voice, and may we heed what we hear, and may we apply the knowledge. God, we pray that good decisions would equal a good life. Thank you for the good life you've given us. A peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and guards our minds in Christ Jesus. A joy that not this world gives, but that only Jesus you can give to us. We think you're really cool, God. Is there anyone cooler than you? No one's got a better beard than you do, Lord. We respect you, God Almighty. And we follow you this day. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance unto you this week. And may the Lord God Almighty give you what this world will never give. May God give you shalom. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. Peace within your relationships. Blessed are the peacemakers. May you walk in peace this week. And may you have a great time this week getting together in growth groups and talking about the things of the Lord and talking about wisdom in this message. I pray that you would be a part of that. People, discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. Please get in meaningful relationships. Come join us in the Family Life Center and let us get you in a small group. Whatever night of the week works best for you, we'll create a group there and then. Please be a part of it. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. And now go watch football if you want to. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.